Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Broncast, the official Cal Poly Pomona Athletics podcast. I am your host, Tyler Lobe, the Assistant Athletics Director for Communications here at Cal Poly Pomona. This week's podcast features members of the CPP women's basketball team. I sit down with head coach Danelle Bishop, senior Monica Todd, and junior Jada Villarreal to talk about the legacy of the CPP women's basketball program, the wrap-up of the 2019-2020 season, how COVID-19 caused the abrupt end of the postseason while the team was in Hawaii, why Coach Bishop was doing more than just coaching during a game last January, and we end it with a rapid-fire question session. Here it is, episode 5 of the Broncast. I am here with head coach Danelle Bishop of the Cal Poly Pomona women's basketball team, senior Monica Todd, and junior Jada Villarreal. Thanks for being with me today. Let's have, I know I've introduced you guys, but go ahead and introduce yourselves. And coach, go ahead and start. We'll start with you. How many years have you been at Cal Poly Pomona? What your hometown is, and what is your career path to Cal Poly Pomona?
Okay. So Danelle Bishop, I'm from Manteca, California, which those of you that don't know is in the Central Valley. And been at Cal Poly for 10 years. I completed my 10th year in August. It's been just an awesome ride. And I got my first head coaching job at Azusa Pacific when I was 27 years old. I was there for 4 years and, it was just special place for me to be at. It always has a special place in my heart, even though I want to beat them every time we play them. It was just an enjoyable place to work at. And, you know, we had 4 20-plus win seasons there and just good group that I still stay in touch with several of them. From there, I went to California Baptist University, was there for a few years. And at the time, they were NAIA. I know they're Division I now, but they were NAIA at the time. And this position opened and applied for it and got it on an interim basis that first year. Didn't know if I was going to be coming back or not. And, you know, our team basically saved my job. I'm kind of joking on that, but basically they did. I mean, we had a stellar season, went to the Elite Eight that year, won our conference, won conference tournament. And it was just a really fun ride. And they took off the interim tag and been here ever since and just had some amazing assistants and players in our program. So it's been a fun ride.
We'll get to some of that in a second. But let's continue on with the introductions of our student athletes, starting with Monica.
Yeah. So hi, Monica, senior. This is my third year at Cal Poly. I transferred from Palomar College. I did 2 years there. I'm from San Marcos, California, and my major is sociology, and I plan to work with kids with my career and see how that goes.
Great. And Jada.
Hi, I'm Jada. I'm from San Diego. I graduated from La Jolla Country Day, and I came right to Cal Poly. So this is my third year at Cal Poly playing basketball. I'm a psychology major, and I'm not sure what I want to do exactly yet.
You got plenty of time to figure that out.
Yeah.
All right. Getting right into it, Coach Bishop, you did mention your career path to Cal Poly Pomona. This will be your 18th season as a head coach at the collegiate level. You got the job at Azusa Pacific when you were 27 years old, spent 4 years there. You went 92-41. They went to Cal Baptist, went 46-41. Came over here to Cal Poly Pomona for the last 10 years, 200 wins. You have led the Broncos to 6 NCAA tournaments. You've won 2 West Region championships, and you reached the national semifinal game in 2014. In fact, you are currently the winningest head coach in the CCA if you just include your time at Cal Poly Pomona. What has been the recipe to your success as a head coach at this level?
Man, it's a lot. I think it takes a lot. I think, I don't know, you know, the recipe changes sometimes, you know, but I think at the end of the day, you still have your main ingredients per se. And I think that main ingredients are the people. And I think, you know, our players can attest to this, and we have good people in our program. We've had assistants that have just been dedicated, that have been, you know, just this program isn't just, oh, hey, I am just the assistant, and they are a part of this program. This is their baby. And then we recruit good people. You know, we've had a couple players here and there, they're just, you know, going through some stuff, trying to figure stuff out. But at the same time, we just had solid people in our program. And then, you know, our department has always been just everybody just supportive. And I think when you're in a department that your program is important, all the programs are important, but when your program is important and supports and pushes and wants you to be successful, it's a great feeling, you know? So I think that's a big part. I think it's just a big commitment as well. And we talk about that with our players all the time, just about culture and being committed, making it a priority. And what does that look like? And then just trying to be positive. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not positive all the time. And they'll attest to that, but man, you know, that is a key part. And we try to focus on that. We could have the worst practice in the world, but at the end of the day, we're going to throw some spotlights out at the end of practice. And they're like, she's doing spotlights again, you know, but just trying to keep it positive because, you know, when you look at the bigger picture, this is just a game. This is just a tool for these young women to move, you know, in their, not only just their careers, but just whether they become moms, you know, better daughters, better friends, just every part, every aspect of their life. We want them to be better than when they first got here. So I think that's been a big key.
When you first got here, obviously you knew how successful this program had been in the past. It has 5 national championships, which is incredible. It's tied for the most in Division II women's basketball. 23 regular season conference championships. Much of that came, you know, during a 26-year span prior to 2002, which is the last year that the program has won the national championship. When you got the job here before the 2010-2011 season, the program hadn't seen much success in the previous 8 or 9 years, but knowing how successful it had been in the past, how much pressure did it put on you to kind of revive the program that legendary head coach Darlene May had created the years before?
I don't know if I ever told you this, Tyler, or the players, but you know, when I first got the job, I was happy to get the job. And I don't think I felt that pressure, no joke, till I parked in the parking lot and all of a sudden I'm taking that long walk. I mean, it's not that long, but you know what I mean?
No, it's long. It sure is.
And it's my first day, August 4th, I think, 2010. And I'm walking in and I'm like, holy crap. Like, I better win that, like, not I, but you know what I mean? Like, I better help them, like, win. Like, it just, like, clicked when I was walking in. I remember that till this day. And sometimes I feel like I have a short-term memory with things, but I remember that day. And I will say this, especially with talking to the alum, particularly the older alum that were there in Darlene May's days, and hearing the amount of pride that they have for this program. I think for me, wherever I go, I'm going to work my hardest and, you know, put in my best effort. And I think that's what we all should do. That's what we're called to do, whatever we do. You should always work hard. And so I knew I was going to work hard. I think for me, it was, could we have that immediate success? And there were players on that team that year that I walked in, that I was their fourth coach they had in 4 years. So my biggest, I guess, feat was, how long is it going to take them to actually buy into what our values are, what our culture is? And we just had great leadership. And so I think that first year just really set it off. And, you know, those players, the ones that graduated, Rayana Colson, now Rayana Hill, was a senior that year. Not only was she a first team All-American, she was an amazing leader. So to get her to buy into what we were doing was the biggest key. We got her bought in. The rest just kind of fell into place. And just, you know, kind of going from that is, you know, just, getting that sense of pride. Like we just did this last week, I think, you guys, we had a session on one of our Zooms about the history of the program, and we put together this PowerPoint and went through some things, and they've heard some of our alum come in, particularly these two who have been there, who we bring in. And I think when you hear them, I mean, that's the biggest part. It really doesn't matter. I wasn't there. It's a part of me now, but I wasn't going through that. So when you hear them and you hear that sense of pride, and you can see it when you walk into that gym, the only banners you see are 5 national title banners and all the West Region banners. We don't see all the conference banners. There's too many to put in there. And so you look at that stuff, and I think when you walk in, there's a sense of pride for Cal Poly Pomona women's basketball.
Absolutely. I know I'm working on all of the record books for all of our sports right now. I've done all the fall sports. I'm working on men's basketball right now. And just going through all of that history I didn't know, it really is amazing how far this Cal Poly Pomona Athletics has come. And I'm really excited to get into the women's basketball one because I've seen just, you know, the final records of each season. And I've also even talked to some of the alums who come to the games still and how prideful they are. I mean, they still come to games, which is, it's great to see them out. And I'm looking forward to going through the history. But, I mean, there's so much there and so much pride in this program. And I think personally, you have done a great job in continuing that success and definitely looking forward to some more seasons moving forward. Cause I know that there's a lot of winning to be happened in the future. So
this is a year. We got to get number 6.
That's right. So in review of last year, 19-10, finished third in the CCA and went 15-7, but you were upset at home in the first round of the CCA tournament to Stanislaus State, sneak into the NCAA tournament as the 8 seed. And then of course we know what happened once we got to Hawaii, but that'll be a question I ask here coming up. Coming off of, well, it got off to a slow start, 6-5 and 2-3 in the CCAA, coming off 3 straight losses in conference play. I remember being in the gym during it was either practice or a shoot around, and Coach Bishop stopped practice and began yelling, saying, let's see what she goes. She goes, "The coaching staff has not given up on you, so you should not give up on yourself." And I remember that distinctly because I was like, I want to remember this because they're 2-3 in conference play and they're getting yelled at. Let's see where they finish at the end of the year. And you finish third in the conference. After that practice, you guys go and beat UC San Diego in overtime, and then go 13-4 the rest of the way. To Jada, and I'll wait for Monica to get back in the room here. But specifically to Jada, first of all, do you remember that practice and that speech? And what do you think was the turning point in that season?
Well, honestly, now that you're bringing it up, I kind of do remember that day because we were just like, our confidence was so down. Like we lost maybe like 4 key players that we were used to playing with in the preseason or like the year before that. And yeah, I just remember our coaches being like, "We still have confidence in you. Like, we don't feel sorry for you guys. Nobody else feels sorry for you. Everyone in this conference, you still have a target on your back no matter what adversity we're facing. So you guys can either like lay down and die, or we're going to keep going and we're going to get these wins." And then it just was right when we beat UCSD, when they're always number one, they're going D1, like have the best players in the conference. When we beat them, we were like, okay, we can do this. Like, we're good enough. We have the talent. We have the coaches. We have the resources. We've worked hard enough. Like, we need to step up and prove everybody wrong. Because we just heard all this talk from the other coaches, other players saying like, oh, Cal Poly's no one this year. Like, they lost everybody. Like, Monica Todd here, she tore ACL and she was one of our starters, like really important, made a big impact on both ends of the floor. And so everyone just was doubting us and we felt it, like we could feel that. But when our coaches were like, we have not given up on you, like we were like, okay, we can't just throw away this season. Like, we have a whole season to go. So yeah, I'm really proud of me and my teammates for stepping up and just finishing the season out and the conference out even with just that record. Yeah.
I want to just interject really quick, because when you first said that it was at one practice she yelled, I was like, oh man, that's probably like every practice, right?
I think it is every practice, but that specific one stuck out in my head, because I was like, I'm going to remember this because I want to see where they finish and see if it was really like one of the turning points of the season. It really, I think, was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, but I was nervous. And so then you said that, but what I wanted to say was just to preface that was Jada hit on in a little bit was we had, you know, Monty was out, but before Monty, it was like, okay, Michaela Wilson, who was supposed to come in and be one of our top players in the conference. We weren't sure what was going on with Quenisha Van Hook. There were other players, you know, that had different things going on. And so when Monty started off, we actually beat West Texas A&M, who was one of the top, I don't know at the time what they were ranked, but they're in the top 15 ranked in the country. Mm-hmm. And we beat them that first game with Monty. And so we were like, not to say surprised, but like, we just worked hard. Like, we just outworked them, and that's how we beat them. Then we come down and Monty ends up tearing her ACL. And it was almost like, so going back to her point, like the team wasn't sure, like, well, who's supposed to fill this role? Who's supposed to do this? How are we supposed to win now that we've got, it was hard enough now. Okay. Hey, we had Michaela out and I think we were still waiting on Myla and, you know, I mean, we had players that nobody really understood what their role was and how, you know, they were figuring all that out and who should do this. And so that's where that just came. Like, it, like, nobody cares. Like, it's kind of like when we have problems, like, people really, like, not to say they don't care, like, you still have an expectation, and that's why Jada hit on that, is like, these teams are like, they're like counting you guys out, so you have a choice. You either say, no, I'm gonna beat you, and I'm gonna come back with that sense of pride, the culture of the program, what we do, or you just sit down and you just let them beat you up, you know? And so I was really proud of how the team responded. And obviously, you know, when you look at our team, like, we just had such great continuity and just great chemistry. I wouldn't say they're all best friends, but man, they all got along. And I really think that was a big part of our success.
One thing I know that, Monica, you don't really necessarily want me to bring up, but I'm going to. You missed most of last season with that injury that Coach Bishop talks about. You went down in the Point Loma game. So 4 games into the season, it was your senior season, but I'm guessing you were granted a medical red shirt year or hadn't taken one yet. So you are taking your red shirt, or you did take it, and now you're back this year. How upsetting was that to you, knowing that it was your senior year and your career could have possibly ended at that point?
Yeah. Oh man. I was devastated for sure. When I went down, I was like, wow, this is the first home game. At one point I was thinking, I was like, I let my team down. I let myself down. I was just like, I was just beating myself up. And I was like talking to the coaches about it. And not sure like what the case was right when I got hurt. I wasn't sure, you know, if I did tear my ACL. But the whole team, especially Myla and Michaela, because they also tore the ACL, they were just supporting every move that I was making, making sure I was getting treatment, trying to tell me to stay positive. And like, I was actually surprised how positive I was. Like, if you ask coach, I would come in with so much energy, knowing I wasn't even on the court. I would tell the girls, like, we're going to get through this. Like, don't out this and that. I know we don't have many players coming in right now and a lot of girls were down. I was just making sure to make sure the team was up. And I was just surprised because I thought, like, you know what, this is it. I'm going to just shut down. I'm not going to do this and that. But I think just having that support with the team really helped me for sure.
Jada, you came off the bench as a freshman playing 22 games, no starts or anything. But from what I saw, you impacted every game that you were in. And then sophomore year, you started 22 of 23 games, ninth in the CCA in three-pointers, and you led the team in steals, which was sixth in the CCA. Besides playing time, and maybe Coach Bishop can hop in once you answer this, but what was the biggest difference for you between your freshman and sophomore year?
Honestly, not that much. Like, mentally, you just have to have the same mentality the whole time. Like, whether your role is being on the bench and cheering everyone on and being like the fresh pair of legs for 2 minutes at the end of every quarter, then fine, that's your job. But mentally, like, I just honestly, I stayed the same. I was ready whenever I needed to be. And this past season, I just had to be ready more often and for longer periods of time. So I, thank goodness, I was raised with really good, like, mental structures. And then I came from a really successful high school program as well, where we just taught discipline and just to always be ready no matter what your role is. And then it was really emphasized through the coaching staff and my teammates and just the culture in general that I just needed to play for the team. And this year, everything just worked out to where I had to step up and fill in a different role this year. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll interject. She was a huge just spark plug for us her freshman year and came in and hit some big shots. And I think, you know, Jada was ready. And we focus on that. Like, you never know when your time's going to come. You never know. And I have to give, you know, kind of back up a little bit. It wasn't just, you know, just all that. Jada worked her tail off. She's always worked hard. She's not our most athletic player, but she is one of our top, just every single day, hard nose. She's going to come in and she's going to challenge you, even though you might be faster than her. She's going to try to beat you in that sprint every single time. And she does beat people. And then I want to touch on this. She'll be the first to look and go, "Monty, I shouldn't be beating you in this sprint." She'll say it. She has tremendous leadership skills. And I still remember it was probably about 2 or 3 months in her freshman year in a huddle. Monty, you might remember this. She called out, I won't say who, I won't mention the name, calls out someone in a heated, at the end, trying to just, you know, team stuff you're going through, calls him out as a freshman. And I knew then, I was like, wow, we have a good one. We have a good one. And so just going back to that, her leadership skills, her work ethic. And on top of that, she knew in our program, she was going to have to play defense. So kind of touching up on those steals. She wasn't even, I don't know if this is okay to say, Jada, but she wasn't even like big, but I didn't even know she could lose weight. I'll put it at that. But she lost, I don't know, a few pounds over the summer, but came in like tight, lean and ripped. You could tell she worked on like all sorts of stuff over the summer. Her lateral defensive slides were better. She became one of our top, we were putting her on some of the like top ball handlers in the conference, and she was annoying them. And from there, just built her confidence up, and the team, I think, just rallied behind her. And now we're going to see, you got to live that up this next year, and we're going to see if she can keep that up.
Now, you guys sneak into the NCAA tournament as the number 8 seed last year, and you find out you're heading to Hawaii for the regional tournament. And this is in March. At about the time that we start hearing about the COVID-19 pandemic kind of making its rounds, hadn't really affected things quite yet, but you were hearing whispers of no fans and then possibly, are we even going to play these games? You fly to Hawaii only to be told 24 hours later that you're getting back on a plane and heading home because the NCAA has canceled all championships for winter and spring. Take me through the emotions of those 36 hours that you spent on the ground in Hawaii. I'll let anyone start with this.
Go ahead. One of you guys, go ahead.
Well, for me, it was my senior year and I was redshirting, but I wanted to be out there no matter what. Like, we barely made it. And I was like, we should be here. We were going to play the number 1 seat. And I was just like, we're going to win. And I was excited just to be there. And when I heard that news, like, I felt for all my seniors. We had, I think, 8 seniors, I believe, or 7. And I was just feeling for them. And I was like, man, like, just to know we had to go back home was just like the worst feeling. Because we weren't even there. It didn't even feel like we were there for a day.
Yeah, I agree with that because we didn't even know if we were going to make it to the tournament in general. Like, we just lost at home to Stanislaus, and we were like, we were literally just waiting for the results to come out to see if our season was still going. So when we got there, we were ready to win. We were like, we're going to get this win. We're going to have an upset. Like, we were all so excited. We were going to go to bed at like 7 p.m. Like, we were so ready. And just hearing that, like, it didn't feel real. It felt like, it felt like we were just going to play the next day, or like, yeah, it just did not feel real. It was really upsetting, honestly, because we all really wanted to play, but life goes on.
Yeah, no, and our staff talked about it before, you know, we were booking, before they even had, we had our selection show, the team came over, and gosh, I still remember that night. It was so fun. But through all the adversity that our team had gone through that year, for us to be in that position, like, not to say we were happy with that. I don't want to sound like our expectations were lowered, but for the adversity we went through and for our personnel that we had and the people that stepped up and played their roles like we needed to and how it all worked out, it was really a blessing and just such a good feeling. And we get there, we went to a luau that night, and you know, there's talks about all this. And I think that night we got back, I'm hearing about the NBA, I forget who it was, somebody got COVID in the NBA. And I'm, you know, yes, because he touched all the stuff and did all that. And so Greg Kamansky and I are like on the phone, like, for like going back and forth, like, hey, what are we doing? We talked to Brian, what's going on? Hey, no, there's no way they'll cancel an NCAA tournament. No way. They've never done that. They won't cancel it. We'll get to play, you know. And so that next morning we're sitting at breakfast and I get a call from Brian, and I'm sitting with our staff, the team's sitting together, and I get that call, and he's like, hey, I was supposed to jump on my flight. It was our day. We actually had practice about 3 hours after this. And he's like, I'm not going to take the flight, 'cause you know, we're going to end up having to send you guys back. And it was honestly, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it just really felt unreal. It was hard for me to soak in yet everything that we weren't going to get a chance, opportunity to play, which Hawaii Pacific hadn't played anybody like us. So even though their record, they were a really good team. We saw them, man, they could shoot the ball. They were good, but they hadn't seen anybody like us with our athleticism and things like that. So we actually thought, hey, we could really bother them some. So we were excited for that. And so it just really felt unreal. I don't think it really even sank in, honestly, with me till about 3 weeks after, because here you're like, hey, you guys quarantine when you get back. And then, you know, hey, 2 weeks, you know, hey, everything's going to get back to normal in like 2 or 3 weeks. Right. So those first couple of weeks, like, you know, I'm doing puzzles with my kids. Like, I think I gained my first 5 pounds of, you know, snacks. Like, those first couple of weeks were like a fun quarantine. Right. And then all of a sudden it kicks in and you're like, wait. And then you're like, oh my gosh, like not to say I felt bad for the seniors before, but it wasn't until a couple of weeks after I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not even going to get to see these seniors off. I'm not going to, you know, then I'm not going to get to go to their graduations. And now hopefully I will, because now they'll get their graduation later. But it was just really unfortunate, but it is what it is. And I think those life lessons we, you know, take in and we try to learn from them.
Yeah. I went to Hawaii with you guys. You didn't see much of me because I sat in my hotel room just following Twitter. It could, because every seemed like 5 minutes, there was some new development, some new cancellation, some new bit of information that was just like mind blowing. And I remember being so exhausted by not even like breakfast the next day, that all of this stuff was going on. And finally, when the announcement was made that we were going to cancel the NCAA regional and we were going to go home that night, I was almost relieved, as bad as that sounds, because I knew that possibly something would happen, and I was able to finally just like put it out there, say, okay, as the communications guy, I need to let everyone know that, okay, we're not playing. At that time, I was finally able to shut off my computer and then finally like enjoy my 2 or 3 hours left that I had in Hawaii you know, go out, walk around and get off my computers. It was almost relieving, but at the same time, it was such a bummer. And I really felt for everybody, not just, you know, not just our team, but the other seven teams that were here at the regional. All, you know, our men's basketball team was in San Diego getting ready for their regional. They had to go home, and just everybody across the country just is, it was so, we'll never see something like this. Probably, I hope not the rest of our lives. And we were seeing it happen in front of us. And it was just nobody, I didn't know how to act, because it was just like, I was sitting in front of at a table at a restaurant after all this had happened, and three Azusa Pacific girls came and sat at the table next to me. They didn't know I wasn't wearing Cal Poly anything, so they didn't know I was from there, but I was overhearing their conversations, and they were seniors, and how sad it was for them to have their careers just come to an end like this. I think they were finally over the shock of it and over the tears and stuff. And so they're finally being able to kind of just talk about it with their parents that were there too. And it got me. I mean, it was very emotional. I had to get up and leave, because I felt for them, and I felt for the seniors on our team and everyone else around the country. I just hope that we never have to go through anything like that again. I hope we get through it. We're still in the middle of it. But hopefully we all get back to normal and everything's, and we can get back to some normalcy, because this has not been very fun 6 or 7 months for anybody. Speak of that, to Monica and Jada, how have you guys dealt with a sudden pivot from in-person instruction to virtual learning as we know it now?
I can start. It is a transition for sure. It's not the same as getting up for your day, getting ready, going to class, going to practice, going to weights and having meetings and then going back home, doing homework and like going to sleep. It's just a very different transition where at home, we can't really go out. We can't go practice with our teammates. We have to do workouts on our own. It's like being a student athlete in itself is already a mental game. And so now that we're at home and no one's watching us, it's like times 10, like the mental game is so much higher. You have to be so much more self-sufficient, so much more motivated. Especially with classes, like you're not talking to a professor face-to-face. So if you forget an assignment or like don't want to do work, no one's going to tell you not to do it, or no one's going to tell you to do it. So it's just definitely a more independent system that you have to deal with.
Monica, how's it been for you?
No, Jada said it all. I agree. It's just a huge transition. At the end of last year, I didn't have to do any classes online, like virtually. So I was like, oh, okay, it's just online classes. Now it's like all my classes are online. So I'm getting used to being like on Zooms and stuff and being able to like talk, and sometimes the connection will go down, or like, you know, I can't hear my professor, and it's just like, it's a struggle. So I have to make sure I make time one-on-one with my professors, get that those hours in with them. But yeah, it's definitely been tough just with workouts as well. Especially with me recovering and stuff, I had to figure out ways that would work with me, stay in contact with my trainers and my coaches. So yeah, it's been getting better since March, but yeah.
Coach Bishop, I mean, this time has been incredibly difficult for you and all coaches as well, trying to keep your team's spirit up, trying to keep them engaged, trying to integrate newcomers into the team that maybe you haven't met yet in person, or even, you know, some of your returners haven't even met in person yet. Trying to keep everyone motivated to keep up on their physical skills. And then you can't even recruit this year. On top of doing all of that from home, you're pretty much homeschooling your two children. And that, how's this time been for you?
It's been tough. I'm a planner. I'm an organizer. I like to do things, they'll tell you, structured a certain way. And, you know, I told them in the beginning, I'm like, there's no game plan for this. Like, I don't know the game plan. I don't have the scouting report for how to do this. I'm still learning with my kids every day and trying to adjust and motivate my own kids, you know?
Yeah, you're learning fourth grade math now, probably.
Whatever. I leave that up to Walt. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's been, that part's been difficult. And for some reason, you know, they probably do this at your house, Tyler, but they want to come to mom first for things. And so they're coming to me more, all while, you know, I have a job to do too. And a lot of that, the type of coach I am anyways, is I'm very relational. I feel like a lot of our programs have been successful because of the relationships. And I touched on that earlier. And so that's been the really hard part for me, is not being able to see them, or, Hey, we got a due date. And then, well, what's the consequence if it doesn't get in, and things, you know what I mean? Things like that. So it's been really tough. And so we've been finding different things to do. I wanted to just really quick go back, you know, Monty didn't really focus on it as much, but I just want to give Monty a little spotlight, because all her physical therapy cut off. And so this girl has worked her tail off. If you can imagine, you're in physical therapy, it gets cut off. You can't go to PT, like near her hometown. You can't see Rome Malisarn, Lauren Salas, those people who are so vital in getting our athletes back. And this girl has worked her tail off. And so I think it really, you know, I want to spotlight her and just how hard she's been working, how far she's come. And she'll send me little videos and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you can do that now. And it's so exciting. But people like her motivate our players. So she'll send it to me and I kind of embarrass her. I'll send it in the group me chat to the whole team. And then I'll be like, sorry, I just wanted them to see how hard you're working. And that's motivating and it inspires them. So those are some things we've done. We've done some cooking classes in July. We only met twice in July, but we did, I think one day was like a breakfast and another day was like some shrimp tacos, and JJ ran those. We tried to just kind of mix it up, have a little bit of fun. But at the same time, you know, it was only, I think, once every 2 weeks, just to be able to see each other and things like that. And then, of course, we check in with our players as coaches every 2 weeks in our wellness checks, just try to motivate them. But we do a buddy system. So we've been doing that since March. And we rotate that. So particularly with the new players, it's causing our returners are having to really build those leadership skills and reach out to them in other ways. So we do that, and then we'll give them not assignments, but like we had Ariel Marsh and Rihanna Hill on last week as our alumni, just to kind of talk about things. And Ariel, you know, really focused on how do you transfer, like what are three words that would describe you as a student, you know? So I think Jada's, I forget what yours were, Jada, I'm sorry, but it was like hardworking, tenacious. She was a tenacious student, but then those weren't her words. Those were your words as a player, but she wasn't tenacious academically. And so Ariel was like, well, how do we transfer those player skills into being, you know, into your student skills. So we made that an assignment, and they met with one of their teammates for that. So we're just trying to find creative ways to, you know, get them going. All of our teams should have all of our physicals done here this next week. So then we're excited to get started with some actual basketball content, being able to go through, you know, our synergy, watch some film, go over our defense. They may not be as excited as I am, but I'm excited to watch some game film with them. And we just haven't been able to do, you know, making sure compliance wise, we're taking care of things on the back end.
Well, hopefully, I mean, the 2020-21 season still up in the air. As of now, the CCA is still planning on bringing games back after July 1. So hopefully we'll see you guys back on the court sooner rather than later. That's for sure. Because I'm getting tired of sitting at home and, you know, trying to keep my kids away from mom for, you know, a couple hours a day so that she can work. So I'm with you, Coach Bishop, on that. The kids definitely want mommy more than daddy usually. And that brings up another point, is that, all of these mothers who do the, working at home thing with kids. My wife, she works remotely ever since we moved down here and I took this job. It's incredible what you guys do, because the kids rely on their moms, but yet mom has to work. And huge appreciation for you mothers and what you guys go through and what you do. So
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. And there's no training on that. I always, honestly, I never thought about having kids, I think, till I got married. I wasn't one of those people, like, I just want to play basketball and coach. Like, I didn't think about kids. And then you have kids, and then you're like, well, how do you do this? And it's just your motherly instincts just, like, kick in, you know? So yeah. So I've been having to, you know, work on my patients at home. It's been a blessing. I will say that the amount of family time we have, and I'm sure
it's true. Yes.
All of you guys can attest to that. You know, we think of all the, terrible things that have happened, but there's been so much, and we talk about this within our team, just all the blessings that have come out of it, all the good things that have come out of it. Particularly the amount of time for me, particularly that I get to spend with my family. I've never spent this much family time with during a season, like during school season, or, you know, I don't know if I'm describing it right. And so it's been, that's been really great. I mean, we sit down not every day for lunch, but almost every dinner now we're sitting down, you know, and doing things. And so that's been a huge, just, I don't know. It's just important for us to be a part of our children's lives and help leading them. And so I like that part that I've been able to do that, but I must say, I think they're going back the end of November on a hybrid. And I'm kind of like,
and you can't wait.
Oh yeah. Yes. Give me a couple hours. So, yeah, and Jada and Monty both have, Jada has her nephew that she helps at home, and Monty has her niece. So they kind of are experiencing that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids are going back to preschool 2 times a week, and it's the best time, even though I love them, but it's the best time when they've gone to preschool. All right. So we got a couple minutes left. So I want to kind of move on to some other more fun things. First off, on game days, most teams choose to participate in shoot around, which is usually, for those people who don't know, it's a 1 hour warm up with a walkthrough of scenarios that a team might experience with that opponent that night. At the end of shoot around, the team, most teams, including yours, decides to have a half court shooting contest. How many of those half court shots have you guys made? Because I'm one for one. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm one for one. I don't know if you guys remember that, but 2 years ago,
I
drained one from half court, and then I'm retired after that. I will never take another shot, no matter how much you guys try and get me. But I'm one for one. How about you guys?
For me, I think I hit like three, my 2 years being here, three or four.
Okay. Jada?
I don't know. I know
Jada more than so many. Years. She hit so many, she can't remember.
I bet.
That's all I practice. I mean
three-point leader. I mean, I would expect that she leads the team in half court shots at shoot-arounds for sure.
She is pretty good. And Tyler, I do remember that because our team was like all pumped and fired up after that.
I mean, the SID isn't supposed to be any athletic at all. I mean, just athletic and SID, it just doesn't really fit. So when I drained, I was like, oh, I do that all the time. No big deal.
We like to.
You definitely got to get it again. You got to shoot again. You can't. You got to redeem yourself.
Maybe one day I will.
Yeah, we try to involve whoever is in the gym at that time. We're going to try to get them to shoot. We've gotten Sarah Macias to shoot before. We've gotten Brian Swanson usually at the Elite Eight. He'll jump in and do it. Now, I, on the other hand, am not as good as Jada. But my team is so positive. They're always like, oh, like I could be like this off. And they're like, oh, it looked like it was going in. They're like, so positive about it.
Well, but I mean, they also are fighting for playing time. So I
hit one this year. Do you remember? Yes,
I remember. I won't say the school, but this coach that we were going to play against was talking mess about us. And Coach B hit the half court shot. Like, she threw that one in. We were so excited. We could not stop smiling for like the whole day.
That was like the first one, I think, in like 2 or 3 years I had made. So I gotta get working on that again.
All right. Now, Coach Bishop, I have a photo of you from a game last year, and I'm just curious as to what made you think to do this, and maybe what was going through the minds of maybe Jada. I don't know. Monica probably wasn't traveling, but maybe she saw it. I'm going to share my screen here. So give me a second.
You guys,
do you have any idea what this could be?
I have no idea, but you guys unmute yourselves. So.
All right.
I'm scared.
I know. I don't want to answer.
This is my coach.
This photo.
Oh my gosh. This is funny.
I was watching this, and all of a sudden, during a timeout, one of your players got hurt, Coach Bishop. And then in the middle of the timeout, you decide to run over and grab the mop. What was going on there?
Honestly, I really don't remember. You guys will have to tell me, but I will say this. I'm not too good to do anything. Like, I'll do whatever I need to do. We must have been too slippery. We probably had a couple of slips, and I was trying to get it D. Bishop approved or something. I don't know.
Because you have the rest of the team kind of overlooking at you that looks like they're coming out of meeting and wondering, what are you doing? And I just thought this was the funniest picture in the world. I knew I had to bring it up somewhere, didn't know where. And I was like, oh, this is the perfect time to bring this up. So
I don't know. Jada, do you remember?
I think you were just really frustrated with like the refs and something
could have been.
Happened.
I mean, one of the players just got hurt, so it could have been because it was slippery down low.
And something about fouls, honestly, like you're just getting irritated, and then somebody Q got hurt, so then you're just like, "No, I'm gonna go fix it myself," and then you just went over there.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's hilarious.
Okay, rapid fire for these. I'm gonna have you guys just say the first thing that comes to mind. I'm gonna start. When I ask the question, I'll let you think about it for a second, and then go ahead and just say the first thing you think. We'll start with Jada, and then Monica, and then Coach Bishop. All right? iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
iPhone.
No question, iPhone.
Would you rather be without elbows or without knees?
Elbows.
I only have one good knee right now, so I'll go with knees.
Knees.
Okay. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Zac Efron.
Oh, I don't know. I would say Chris Brown.
Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, currently now on Cobra Kai. You guys haven't watched it.
Okay. Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Thanksgiving.
Christmas.
Would you rather have a sensitive nose or sensitive ears?
Ears.
Nose.
Ears.
That's pretty brave to have a sensitive nose. Especially
I feel like a sensitive, I have like allergies, so that's a sensitive nose to me.
All right. Especially when you got to travel in van with your teammates and you never know what, you know, kind of smells, filter throughout the van. guys, I bet it's worse, but I'm sure it happens on the female side as well. Morning or night?
Mornings.
Night.
Mornings.
Would you rather drive or be the passenger?
I like driving.
I'm always a passenger.
Why are you always a passenger, Lonnie? No, it's drive.
Okay. What is your least favorite type of music?
Heavy metal. Sorry.
No, you're good. I think like EDM.
Yeah, heavy metal.
Okay, I'd say that too, heavy metal, for sure. Would you rather be invisible or be able to fly?
Fly.
Fly.
Probably fly.
Okay. Have you ever gone to the movies by yourself?
No.
No.
Nope.
Would you go to the movies by yourself?
Yeah.
Now, yes.
Pre-quarantine.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, pre-quarantine.
Okay. Would you rather be good at dancing or good at singing?
Dancing.
I can dance or sing.
You know, Jada can sing. And Bernie can dance.
Yeah.
You know what? Since they make me dance sometimes, I'll go with dancing.
Okay.
That's a thing, you know. Monty, can you do it like right now? Give everybody a little taste test of what you do. You don't have to come. Give us a beat. Give us a beat.
I can't. I gotta feel it. It has to be game day. It has to be game day for me to do it.
It is game. The Broncast is game day. You should have all weekend to prepare for this. Come on.
She's got the whole, like, she's like hits her foot or hits the wall on something and it's got like beat.
Yeah.
Who starts that whole Broncos chat down the hallway? Is that Monty? Or
that's Casey Smith. Yeah.
Well, she's gone now, so I guess somebody has to step up, right?
Lay did it for
you. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Lay Leah Orgy, yeah. But, you know, that's actually a tradition that they've been doing. I know all they've been doing at least since 2002, so that's why they do that.
I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. You have just won the lottery. What is your first purchase?
First purchase, probably, honestly, I would put it in my bank account, like savings right away.
I would say like a rec center, something like that for like kids and stuff.
Okay.
I'm so selfish. I watched that, you know, you can purchase an island. Have you guys seen that on, you know, you can buy an island. It's like on HGTV or something. I don't know. I might look into buying a little island.
I would too. To a little escape.
Yeah.
Would you rather not be able to shower the rest of your life or not be able to brush your teeth the rest of your life? No shower or no brushing your teeth?
I wouldn't brush my teeth, especially with the mask, you know, I might catch some of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say brush my teeth.
Yeah, I'll brush my teeth.
Finally, what are you doing on November 3rd?
Voting.
Yep, in all caps, voting.
We will not be practicing. There we go. We will not be practicing. We will be voting. You know, just to give, if we can, a little, I don't know, tell you, we got a nice little voting video coming out here that you guys are going to have to catch. I think you'll be surprised. It's pretty catchy. So I hope everybody likes it as much time that we put into it. So
looking forward to it. Can't wait. Well, that is head coach Danelle Bishop of the Cal Poly Pomona women's basketball team, senior Monica Todd and junior Jada Villarreal. Thank you for being with me today and go Broncos. Hopefully we'll be back on the court in a month or two.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Go Broncos.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that'll do it for episode 5 of the Broncast. I want to thank CPP women's basketball head coach Danelle Bishop, senior Monica Todd, and junior Jada Villarreal for joining me today. For new episodes of the Broncast each week, make sure to visit our website at broncoathletics.com/podcast and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at our handle CPP Broncos. Weekly podcasts are also available for free download on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. For everybody in the CPP Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, I am Tyler Lobe, encouraging you to make it a great day, reminding you that Black Lives Matter, and be sure to rock the vote on November 3rd. As always, go green, go gold, go Broncos.